BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts. Scott Mills.
The Friday Behind the Scenes Bonus Extra Bits Podcast with Chris Stark.
Hello there and welcome to the Friday Extra Podcast. You really do get your value from this show, don't you?
I think. You see, look, you're buying into it more already. It's quite nice that you've picked up the talking on this one. Normally you just look at me blankly whilst I introduce a Friday Extra Podcast. But no, I think you're in now. You're seeing the hype around it.
Yeah. A lot of people seem to like it as well.
It's good. I like what we're doing at the moment, which is a bit of a throwback to shows and times gone by on the show.
We're going to take you all the way back to 2012, which, to be honest, I've mostly erased from my mind, but these clips will remind me that I was on Radio 1 then, and it was actually quite good. Starting off with me and my favourite show in 2012. I actually really missed this show. It was called Mob Wives.
Yes, that's and, true. You loved that. What was the lady from that? Was it Linda something or other?
Big Ange.
Oh, Big Ange, maybe, yeah.
This was one of my favourite shows at the time. It was about a load of quite bitchy women who lived in Staten Island in New York and were kind of loosely connected to the mob. And they used to just fight a lot, and it was amazing. So, yeah, I wanted to become one. It's time for my show and tell. This is where one of us brings something to the table for the other's attention. And today, I can't wait to tell you about this. It's a TV show that I am absolutely obsessed with. And it's on quite a random channel here. A lot of people are saying, is it Cougar Town? No, but that is quite me. It's not Community. A lot of people are saying it's that. It's not Eastbound and Down. The show is Mob Wives. Now, I was in America last year, and I was watching VH1, and there's this programme that came on, and I was like, what is this? So basically, it's four women whose fathers or husbands are in prison for crimes related to the mafia, so they're kind of related to the mob.
So it's real?
It's reality, yeah, and it's set in Staten Island in New York, and you've got Renee, who is the daughter of Anthony Graziano. Do you know him?
No.
Drita, her husband Lee, he's incarcerated.
Right.
In prison. Carla, whose husband is also incarcerated. And Karen, you know, the daughter of Sammy the Bull.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Rita Ora is a big fan of the show, I've just seen.
I thought you were going to say Rita Ora is a mob wife.
No, she's not. Can you imagine? And basically, I've seen season one. Yes, I did order the DVD from America. And pretty much all they do is wear fur coats all the time, talk about the mob, go to the gym, have lunch, bitch about each other, which normally results in a massive fight, and I mean proper fighting, and then they all make up again.
So you can relate to these mob wives, is this why
absolutely
you like it?
There's been two seasons now, and they say things like this.
You want to keep talking out of that mouth? You're going to have a jaw wired.
It's just women fighting a lot. Now, you know I'm obsessed with this already.
Yeah, well, I see you tweet these mob wives. And
yeah, I follow them all on Twitter, and I did actually get a tweet back from one, from Renee, on my birthday. You know what she said?
What?
Happy birthday, baby. See you soon. Now, in my eyes, that means I think that when she's coming to the UK, we can meet up.
Should you not be a bit more worried about this? I don't think you should be mixing with the mob wives. They've all got mob husbands, right?
Yeah.
So are you not a bit worried about that?
Why? What, me hanging out with them?
Well, I'm not sure these blokes are going to like you hanging out with their wives.
They won't know, they're in prison.
What? Okay.
Here's Drita. She's my favourite, I think.
When I was younger, I wanted to box professional. Seriously, that's something I wanted to do. But my father wasn't having it. He's like, if you were ugly, I'd say, okay, you're not, so you're not doing it. So I just beat up a lot of people.
And you want this to be your new friend?
Yeah, I do.
Blimey.
It's between Drita and... or Renee will be fine. Come around for tea and stuff. Or Big Ange. Now, I would really like you to see Big Ange. She's not in it until season two. But maybe if you're at work at the moment, is this a good idea? Google Big Ange.
I don't think you've thought this through at all.
Big Ange speaks like that due to unfeasibly large lips.
Okay, Big Ange.
Which I think might not be her own. Or maybe they are, but maybe just a little bit enhanced.
Don't tell me they wrecked her body.
Oh, wrecked it? No.
That's Ange.
Are you serious?
Horrible.
like children.
Create a black eye.
Oh, come on.
Really hurt. I had to go to the doctor.
Oh, my God.
And Karen throwing plates.
What are we, animals?
So they just duff each other up a lot.
I don't know why you think you are so, like, you're going to fit in with these people.
Why not?
Well,
I could be in the mob.
No, you couldn't.
I could.
You're the most unlikely person to ever be in a mob.
Do I need to be Scott the something?
Yeah, you need a different name.
I need to have a mob name. Scott the...
There's got to be a website for
Scott
that.
Scott the Squirrel.
Here we go.
What are you doing?
I'm finding a mob name. There's got to be one. Yeah, here's one.
Go on.
Right, type your name in.
What, you've got a mob wife generator name?
Oh, you can choose, yes.
Excellent.
Two Finger Scotty.
Hello. I'm Two Finger Scotty.
Scotty the Fish.
I like that. I like that.
Big Scotty the Boss.
No.
I like this one. Scotty Nostrils.
No, there's nothing wrong with them.
That sounds more like a pun.
I like Scotty the Fish. Becky in Wales says, I saw this while I was in Cuba on holiday. It's brilliant. Thank you for highlighting this programme. My sister made me watch it. Now I'm hooked. The fight between Drita and Karen was amazeballs. That's from Jen in Chingford. Yeah, the Drita versus Karen fight was awesome. There's quite a few people who like it. Here's Ange again, my fave.
We never even got to sing happy birthday or have a piece
How
of the cake.
How long was this since?
They sing like no words.
Everybody could ever have a pizza together.
My mobster name generator's come back with Slim Scotty Sack.
Not so much.
Scott Mills.
Do you remember that time in 2012 when you kind of decided that there were a lot of businesses and professions that were kind of undervalued and unappreciated?
Yeah, I actually think this was a great idea because it was giving back to people in a way that I don't think really happens very often. It was a good idea. It was never going to earn me that much money, but it was nice to show appreciation.
So what did you do?
So the idea was I'd go and find undervalued people, buskers and people who serve coffees, that kind of thing, and I'd give them a round of applause, see if anyone else joined in.
I remember this now. What have you been doing today, Chris?
Well, I don't think people applaud enough in life, generally.
Oh, we were talking about this when we were out last night, weren't we?
Yeah.
I was saying how it kind of annoys me when you're, let's say, at the cinema and the film ends and people clap.
It annoys you?
It's really annoying because at the theatre, yes. At a gig, yeah. Whoop and cheer all you want. Clap, do whatever, go crazy to show your appreciation. At the cinema, the actors aren't there.
But people work really hard on that film.
They just put a film on. That's their job.
They praise, you
know?
No.
They're not even, the stars aren't even there at the premiere. They're mostly out the back door. They just walk in, do the red carpet, answer a few phones, Tom Cruise, for 2 hours. And then, but they don't watch the film.
For me, it's like giving a waiter a tip in a restaurant.
It's not the same. Here's another one. When the airplane comes into land, lands the plane. Why? I don't know much about flying planes, but he's just doing his job. He's a pilot. He does it several times a day.
I like it. I think people should applaud more. If someone does a good job, they deserve praise.
No, no disrespect to pilots, even though I understand that sometimes it's a computer landing it anyway.
Well, you know what annoys me is buskers. Like, buskers do a great job, but always people just walk past. They never stand and applaud or give them some praise.
I don't understand. Like, that's like saying, let's say the end of Call Me Maybe's just been on, yeah?
Yeah.
So, Call Me Maybe.
Yeah, I like the song. I'm going to... Well done, Carly, yeah.
No, you're applauding me for pressing play.
I'm not applauding you. I'm applauding Carly. Well, and you, I guess.
Thank you.
But, like, buskers, so...
Oh, you're such a gent.
What I thought I'd do is I went out today and I found a busker just so I could give him some praise that I think he deserves.
Okay, we can hear this now, can we?
Yeah.
All right, so here is Chris... Gent Power, showing his appreciation for buskers. Any money?
No, I didn't, no.
To be honest, Chris, I think he would have preferred that. Why did you clap in the middle?
I'm not there to give money. I'm there to go applaud the underappreciated.
Nobody joined in.
No, no. I was sort of hoping they would. I thought if I did it, it would be that awkward thing. I'll do it. and then everyone would join in.
But the thing is with buskers, like when they finish the song, there is that awkward silence of like, okay, everyone just carry on with what they're doing.
Yeah.
But you applauded in the middle of the song.
Well, it's because I was walking past. It was like everyone was moving in one direction. So I was just like, yes. He deserved it. I think another group of underappreciated people are sculptors.
What?
Well, you know there's statues in every town and the tourists love them.
Mostly though, you don't even know who they're of.
No, but I think the people who make them deserve a bit of praise.
Oh my God.
So I found this statue in town and there was a load of people standing around looking at it.
Right. So you thought, I know what I'll do. I'll applaud it.
Yeah.
So here is Chris showing his appreciation of sculptors.
Just found a load of tourists looking at a statue. I'm going to see if I can get them to clap. Let's give this a go. Look at that statue. What a statue that is. Look at that. Yeah. Woo! That is a statue. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Woo! Just me.
So no one joined in there?
No one joined in again.
This appears to be some kind of one-man mission.
I found one more underappreciated people that I thought I'd go and applaud.
Gent Power.
Yeah, Gent Power. I just think they do a good job. They're barristers. You know them?
What, in court?
No, they're coffee
Not
people.
Not guilty.
Bravo.
I always find when I get a coffee, I queue up. Everyone's a bit miserable because it's usually early in the morning.
They're just doing their job.
But they deserve applause. If it's a good coffee.
If it's only if it's good,
yeah.
You applaud them.
Mm.
Okay, so here is Chris showing appreciation to barristers.
That is a lovely coffee. That deserves a round of applause.
Tell the ladies
that. That is a lovely coffee, seriously. Lovely coffee.
Lovely cup of coffee. Diana.
Everyone should join in.
You say that's a lovely cup of coffee.
Yes. That's the one. Oh.
Somebody else joined in.
They all started joining in. It was great.
How many people?
It was a great moment. Everyone cheered up. Literally only two. But you know, it's a start.
Was that just the dude next to you in the queue?
Yeah.
And he starts saying lovely cup of coffee.
You're right. That is a lovely coffee there.
That is a lovely coffee. That deserves a round of applause.
Tell the ladies that.
That is a lovely coffee, seriously. Lovely coffee.
Lovely cup of coffee. Diana.
Everyone should join in.
You said that's a lovely cup of coffee.
Yes. Woo!
Jeremy in Aberdeen's been on.
That's the one.
He is a barrister in a shop that rhymes with Boster.
Right.
And he says it's about time we got applauded. So he's all over that. He loves it. A little bit awkward at times, I think, but yeah, nice work, Chris.
Scott Mills.
2012 was a different time, and it was when David Hasselhoff was really still quite famous.
You're right. David Hasselhoff, at this point, was going around student clubs and stuff like that, because Baywatch was still a student anthem. It's hard to understand right now, but he was a very, very big deal.
Yeah. So we played a game called What Would the Hoff Do? David Hasselhoff is here.
I am.
And, as he so often is. But I like it that you come in.
It's fun.
It is fun.
It's easy.
It is easy. We have a laugh, don't we, Dave?
We have a laugh.
Don't we?
Yes.
And now it's time for... What would the Hoff do?
What?
You know, like, often I wake up in the morning and I'm faced with a difficult situation and I think to myself, what would my friend David Hasselhoff do in this situation?
And you don't get up.
No. I stay back in bed for the rest of the day. Hashtag WWHD on Twitter. What would the Hoff do? Hi, Sam.
Hi.
I understand you've got a situation and maybe only the Hoff can help.
Yeah, I'm in a bit of trouble with my girlfriend.
Go on.
Basically, on Monday, I went to Bacoli with my friend and then afterwards we went out of Nando's. I had a lot of food and basically at night my girlfriend wanted to have food with me. So I went to football after the Nando's and then after football went to her house.
Right.
And basically she asked me what I had to eat that day and she was adamant she was going to cook me something to eat. So I lied to her and said all I had was a pasty. And then she cooked me a massive meal of more chicken and chips.
Double chicken.
Yeah, it's bad.
So what you're saying is you ate a lot of chicken without your girlfriend's knowledge the other day.
Yeah, but that's not the end of the story.
Right.
So I thought I got away with it. I ate the chicken and chips and was fine.
With her, yeah.
Yeah, with her. But then yesterday morning I got a text saying, I can't believe you lied to me. I went and left my receipt on her floor.
So you left the receipt from the restaurant without her being there on the floor?
Yeah.
So now she knows that you filled up before her chicken and chips?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Wow.
But what would the Hof do?
Well, I think that the most important thing to do is to take her out for chicken.
Is she in a mood with you, Sam?
Well, she was in a bit of a mood yesterday. I was only getting one kiss on the text. But
I hate that.
I would take her to see Piranha 3 Double D.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would cheer her
right
up. There's
no chicken in that movie, and when you leave, you'll love fish. She will love fish. And the word chicken will never be mentioned again because you can't be a chicken to see this movie. It's like very intense.
When you fall out with a girl like Sam has done here, what do you do to make it better?
Run away.
Well, you must be. I reckon you're quite romantic.
No, you know, I'm not good at falling out. I run away because most of the women that I break up with, really, they come after me. Right. So I usually run away. You know,
don't you buy presents for them to make up?
Oh yeah. Well, with Haley, when we got into a row, is that how you say a fight? A row?
Row fight. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I sent her flowers and chocolates and you know, by her door, and she was really mean though because she'd open the door and take the chocolates and slam the door, and then you know then she'd take the flowers and slam the door. You know, then I you know, I tried other thing. You know, I brought her, you know, small men. And
sorry?
I brought her small men, you know, just, you know, as a kind of a Hof alike, you know.
You bought her small men?
Yeah, I put them outside the door.
What, actual people?
Yes, actual people. But, you know, they were like, they weren't like small men for her to sleep with. They were small men for, that would walk in and say, he's really sorry, you know.
So hang on a second. You hired... When you had an argument with your girlfriend, you hired a group of small people to stand outside your girlfriend's door.
Right.
And when she opened the door, he's really sorry.
He's really sorry. I didn't want anybody big and hunky because she probably would take him in, you know. So I hired only small men that, you know, formerly played, you know, rugby or something like that, but former players, not like real players. And then they would say, he's sorry. He's really sorry. And then would give her chocolates, and it worked.
So, Sam, what you need to do is just hire a group of small blokes.
My boss is a small man.
Yeah, get him to go around.
All right.
That's perfect, all right?
That'll work.
Yeah, that'll be great.
And that's what the Hof would do. Thanks,
that's
Sam.
Right. Good luck, Sam.
Next, it's Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. What's your situation?
Well, my situation is, what would the Hof do when you have got ready, you're going out on a night in the town, you've all dressed to kill, you've got your favourite brand of aftershave on, you go out, you go about, go to a few bars, a few clubs. You need to go and freshen up. So you go to the toilet, and there's a toilet attendant there, and he doesn't have your brand of aftershave. So do you go au naturel, or do you mix and match?
Okay, so there's a situation where he's dressed to kill, he's on a night out, he goes to the toilet. I don't know whether you have this in America, but in our toilets, in clubs, you normally have a man there with a selection of colognes and aftershaves, right, and some lollipops. Are you aware of that? Have you ever seen that in a club before?
Well, that's sad, though. Does he just stay there all night?
He stays there all night.
You give him a pound, and then he freshens you up.
How does he freshen you up?
Well, he's got a selection of colognes by the sink.
And each cologne is only worth a pound?
Well...
No, you don't get the whole bottle.
You just get a spray.
Gives you a little spray.
Gives you a little spray, yeah. So, and if he doesn't have your brand, what would you do?
Well, what do you do? Do you spray with a rogue brand, or do you just go au naturel and hope for the best?
I think that you have usually the guy in the bathroom breathe on you. You know, I mean, because obviously if he's been in there for a long time, he probably smells beautifully. Like, you know, when you go to like a Bed Bath and Beyond, you know, or you know what those are?
What, like a beauty shop, a cosmetics shop. Yeah.
The whole place smells so nice.
Yeah, it's and like then, lush.
Yeah, right. It's lush, man. Yeah, my girlfriend loves that word, lush. Everything's lush. So maybe the guy is lush in a masculine way. So I think you would get a hug from the guy in there, say, would you please hug me?
And then you smell of all of the aftershaves.
All of the aftershaves, and you can't go wrong.
So, Matt, what you need to do next time is hug the toilet attendant.
Nice, I'll bear that in mind.
And that's what the Hoff would do. Thanks,
that's
Matt.
That's right, hug the toilet.
Next, all the way from Denmark, oh, wow. We've got a Danish fan on.
Wow, I love Danish.
I love Danish. Hello, Klaus.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Hoff.
Hello.
Hello.
What would you like to know?
What's that?
What would you like to know? What's your situation?
Well, I have a question for the Hoff, because I watched the trailer for Piranha 3DD, and I must say, Hoff, or soon to be Sir Hoff, looks very great in it. And my question is, I have a friend that I train, and he's always complaining in the gym that, oh, my muscles are sore and I can't train, and oh, it hurts. And I know that you can't have any gain without pain. But what do I do to my friend, because he's kind of on the verge of quitting and kind of doesn't want to do it all the time. What would the Hoff do in that situation?
So you've got a friend that you're trying to get into shape. You're forcing him to go to the gym with you, Klaus, but he is not having any of it and keeps complaining about sore feet, sore legs, sore hands, sore hair, everything. What do you do?
Well, this comes back to the small man syndrome. I would hire at least like 20 or 30 women and you know, pay them a nominal fee to show up and tell this man that he is the man of their choice. And after he sees the type of women that are showing up, and they don't have to be, unattractive, but they should be older, older and kind of like.
So it's like Pretty Woman.
Yeah, but maybe some sort of hair coming out of the weird wrong places, and then when he sees these women, he will definitely want to go back to the gym like right away.
Okay,
and the trainer would say, "Hey, dude, you need to work out because you're attracting the wrong women. Maybe even a couple women dressed like men or men with you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, on the border."
Yeah, men with women dressed as men. How do you say it over here? Chicks with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. But anyway, good luck with that. That's what the Hoff would do.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thankfully, just the one more.
Well, yes.
Hello.
Small men, hairy women.
Who's on line four?
Hi, Scott. It's Scott from Devon.
Hi, Scott from Devon. What's your situation for the Hoff?
Situation is you've gone out, you've got in, and you got home. You're hungry, you want some toast. You go for the toaster, you make the toast, you butter it, you put it in your mouth, just back in your mouth, and you drop it, and it lands butter side down. What would the Hoff do in that situation? Does he bin it, or does he pick the fluff off and eat it?
So you've got some toast, you've just made it.
Right, thank you for translating.
And I know, I am translating. And then, the toast...
No, you don't toast, you don't eat it, it's on the floor.
No, but there's a 3-second rule, isn't there?
What do you mean?
You know when I cooked, ages ago, when I cooked those steaks at your house?
Yes.
I dropped one of them on the floor.
Right.
And you ate that.
Did you know about this?
Yeah, but we put the steak back.
No, but I dropped it and didn't tell you. But actually, I was observing the 3-second rule. It was only on the floor of your house for 3 seconds. So I picked it up and put it back on the plate. And you ate it.
No, yeah, I think that the guy should...
Well, what would you do, Hoff?
What would I do? If I dropped a piece of toast on the floor and had fluff all over it?
Yeah.
Throw the freaking thing away.
Would you, though? It's a gorgeous piece of toast. Mmm, taste me.
Mmm. Well, I don't know. If it was your mom's toast, I would definitely have it because your mom makes great toast. And and your floor is very clean at your home.
Thank
so
you.
It depends on the floor.
She did make you a cheese toastie once, my mom, didn't she?
I loved that. I was so hungry when I got there. I knocked on the door and I said, hi, she said, you're David Hasselhoff. I said, can I have a cheese sandwich? And she said, sure.
That is a true story.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
It's true.
And this is absolutely ridiculous.
I remember her coming out because it was a really hot day, and she came out into the garden and went, do you want me to cut the crusts off, David?
Yeah.
She actually said that.
She did.
She did cut the crust off for you.
Right, right.
Because that's how you roll.
I know.
Anyway, so the answer there, is, Scott, is don't eat the toast.
Don't eat the toast. I'm liking the 3-second rule, though, Scott, that you said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It applies.
Cool, cool.
And that's what the Hof would do.
That's right. And that's what the Hof would do.
Well, do you know what? It's been brilliant having you in today.
Thank you very much.
It's been really good to see you.
See you at the movie.
Well, you won't.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
And when will you...
I'll bring it over.
When are you next back so you can pop in for a little chat?
In about an hour.
Excellent.
Okay.
2012 was a real vintage year, Scott. Do you remember, even in my personal life, 2012 was a funky one. I was newly single.
Oh, yeah.
I was sort of just starting on Radio 1. It was interesting times.
Was this the when you used to go and stay in that youth hostel a lot?
That's right. I did stay in the youth hostel a lot.
Do you know, I went past there the other day and I was like, Chris has got a plaque in there. They put a plaque up on one of the doors of the rooms, didn't they?
Yeah, occasionally people who are staying in there send me a message on Twitter or Insta with a picture of them by the plaque. Funky times.
I mean, it was very near Radio 1 and where Radio 1 was at the time. It was a 30-second walk, so quite handy if Chris had decided to overdo it, let's say, one evening or two.
That's right. Well, often it was straight from that to the breakfast show.
Well, yeah,
well,
it was.
When we were for more, I think it was Moyles around that time. Anyway, last thing that we're going to do on this Friday Extra podcast is something from 2012. And we used to do a lot of show and tells, as you've already heard in this podcast. I had one about Fat Joe.
And I have a hilarious text conversation between a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. Right, so you got a show and tell for me. I like it that you've prepared one for my return.
Yep.
This is where we show something to the class, you know, like at school. You bring it along, you show it, tell everyone else. What have you got today on Show and Tell?
It's a bit of a weird one today. And it comes from last night on One Extra at 9 o'clock. There was a One Extra story.
Oh yeah, like we do on Radio 1.
It was this really good documentary about someone called Fat Joe. And the documentary itself was about fat rappers.
Are you making this up?
I'm not. No, it was...
Are you taking advantage of the fact that I've been away for a week and I don't really know what's going on?
It was a One Extra story all about fat rappers with Charlie Sloth.
They do have some really, really good documentaries in the evenings on Radio 1 and our sister station, One Extra.
It was.
I still don't believe you.
No, it was. It was about larger framed rappers.
Oh, the bigger boned MC.
The bigger boned MC.
Have we got Fat Joe? Hang on. Now, when I was about, I think I was about 16, I used to play this song on Radio 1 a lot. In the dark, depressing days of early breakfast.
It's a tune.
But this used to cheer me up. There was a time on Radio 1 where him and Ja Rule were pretty much all we played. If it wasn't them, it was a shanty. I seem to remember it being faster than this. Has it got slow with age?
Yeah.
You just want to speed it up a bit. Tune, though.
Yeah.
So is it just about Fat Joe?
It wasn't just about Fat Joe. It was about fat rappers.
Cool.
But Fat Joe quite heavily featured in it, so to speak.
Well, he should, because of his name.
No, there's another Joe who helped make this whole story, make this documentary. Fat Joe.
The one that works at Radio 1,
the one
Joe.
The one that works at Radio 1, Joe.
Slim Joe.
Slim Joe.
Yeah. You need to call him something, because otherwise you're going to get your Joes confused there.
Now, he sent me some extra snippets from this documentary, stuff that was left out.
All right, so this wasn't on the show last night?
And no, it didn't make the final thing. I can't believe it didn't. But my show and tell today, it's a bit weird, but I think you need to hear this. This was when Slim Joe was on the phone to Fat Joe. And
doing an interview with him.
Doing an interview.
About being a fat rapper.
Yeah. Bigger boned MC.
Yeah. Shall we hear this now?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's he doing in this? So Slim Joe is in London talking to Fat Joe, probably somewhere like, I don't know, Atlanta, let's say, or LA. And what happens? What goes on?
Have a listen to this and just tell me, what is Fat Joe doing?
So you want to guess what he's doing in this clip. Cool.
I put on an even better show because I have more energy and I'm able to really, really go in and go crazy with the crowd, you know, so it's been a plus.
Listen, man, thanks very much for your time, yeah?
Thank you, my brother. Peace.
Have a good one.
No.
Why didn't that make it?
No, it can't just be me.
We've all done it, though. We've been on the phone to Slim Joe. You just need to sometimes.
I like... He is, isn't he?
I think he is. Can I hear it again?
I put on an even better show because I have more energy and I'm able to really, really go in and go crazy with the crowd, you know? So it's been a plus.
Listen, man, thanks very much for your time, yeah?
Thank you, my brother. Peace.
Have a good one.
No, I have done that one on the phone before, but when you know it's going to go out on the radio...
Yeah.
It's clearly... Well, it didn't in the end, but it has now. It's part of a radio interview. Can't he just wait a couple of minutes, Fat Joe?
I like this Slim Joe's... Like, his voice at the end. He doesn't quite know what to do.
Says it all, doesn't it? One more, please. Thank you.
I put on an even better show because I have more energy and I'm able to really, really go in and go crazy with the crowd, you know? So it's been a plus.
Listen, man... Thanks very much for your time, yeah?
Thank you, my brother.
Have a good one.
It gets better with every listen, doesn't it? I mean, he could just have been pouring a drink, but I think I know that porcelain sound anywhere. Thank you very much. That's an excellent show and tell. And I'm presuming Fat Rappers, without the weeing bit, is still on iPlayer?
Yes.
Awesome.
Scott Mills.
We've got double trumpets today.
Oh, yes.
Bring on the double trumpets. It's double show and tell. And the second show and tell is from one of our listeners, Louise. And Louise, for show and tell, you have bought your son's phone.
I have.
Thanks for your show and tell. So tell me the story here. Your son is 9, right?
Yeah.
And his name's Sam?
Yeah.
And you got him a mobile for his birthday?
I did, yeah. I found it one day when he was at school last week, and I thought I'd have a quick nosy to see who he's been texting, and I found this conversation on his phone between him and his friend Leah.
Do you not think this is an invasion of privacy for the 9-year-old?
Yes, I do, and he told me that himself.
Do you go through other people's text messages, other friends? And
no, only my own. But I just thought it was hilarious, so I had to send it in.
And to be honest, you're probably just checking that everything's okay, really, aren't you?
Yeah.
Does he have a lot of friends as a 9-year-old? I mean, do many 9-year-olds have phones?
No, this is it. He only has... My number, his dad's number, and his sister's number on it.
Right.
So I didn't even know he had this little girl's mobile number on his phone. So, yeah, I'm quite surprised when I read the text message conversation.
So who is the little girl?
It's just a little girl, one of his little friends called Leah, who he's been texting.
And is her number in his phone as Leah, or has it just come up as a random number?
It just came up as a random number. He didn't know who it was. When they first read the text, I didn't have a clue who it was that was texting him.
Yes, as we're about to find out, because we're going to reenact this.
Brilliant.
I've got to say, though, even though your son is 9, if you look at my phone, it's similar to a lot of text conversations that I have.
Yeah, he's got no text etiquette whatsoever, no manners when he texts at all.
Same. So what we've done is we've kind of put together this phone conversation as it happened between Sam and Leah, with actors playing the part of them. Do they mind us putting this on Radio 1?
No, he thinks it's great. He listens to your show all the time, so, yeah, he thinks it's hilarious.
Okay, so me and Sam are cool.
Yeah.
But I don't want the wrath of the 9-year-old. Especially not with the kind of things he texts, as we're about to find out. Okay, so if you've ever wondered what a text conversation between a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old is like, this is it. It starts with a strange text to Sam's phone.
What are you doing?
To which he replies,
sorry, I can't read.
Well, you can, because you just read that. Then they reply,
B.
What are you doing, B? Then Sam says,
hang on, before you go, who is this?
He still doesn't know who it is.
Yo, text me now or face my furry.
So he hasn't had a reply back. So he tells them to text him now or face his furry.
Does he mean fury?
Yes.
He means fury, yeah. It's his favourite word.
But I prefer face my furry, I think.
Yo, text me now or face my furry.
Why would a 9-year-old say face my fury anyway?
Yeah.
Oh, it's his favourite word, face my fury.
Is it?
Where's he got that from?
I've no idea, the television probably.
Did he get that from you at all, Louise?
No.
Really, though?
Definitely not.
Then he finally gets a text back.
Come upstairs now. Open the door.
What? Sam says,
I'm not in, haha. Now tell me, who is this?
He keeps texting.
Why aren't you replay? Are you still at our dad's?
And he gets a reply.
Are you attention your mum's?
What's it all mean?
I don't even know where he's gone. Are you attention your mum's? Because that's not even...
Are you attention your mum's?
I can't even work out what that would be.
Well, try and work out what this one means then.
Are you at moi hola? Are you at moi hola?
Louise, has your son been at moi hola recently?
No.
Where is moi hola?
I don't know.
Is it somewhere
England,
near Lincoln?
Probably.
He replies,
what?
As you would. What are you on about? They reply,
you know, listen, you deaf.
Leah texts again,
I'm at my mum's. Is this Sam?
Sam replies,
yes, why did this girl text me yesterday?
She says,
you know, listen, you deaf.
He says,
now you've proved it.
What? What do you mean? This is not making any sense.
This really is like one of your text conversations.
After a certain point in the evening, yes, it is.
Exactly the same.
Sam says,
what's cracking?
I love that. He's 9. Does he ever come into you, Louise, and go, hey, Mum, what's cracking?
Sometimes, yeah.
He does?
Yeah, he comes out with some really funny stuff.
Yo, what's cracking? Leah says,
are you at your mum's?
He says,
yes.
She says,
I'm at my mum's.
Is she getting angry now? Is that why it's caps locked? Mum, she sounds angry.
Caps lock is on now. Sam says,
my what?
Mum's now and my dad's soon.
All right.
Ooh. Okay, settle down.
Good lad.
Be told, you 7-year-old. Settle down.
You know, listen, you deaf.
Oh, she's angry.
What?
In Dean. I'm bored. I'm at dad's.
Good for you.
I love your son.
Your dad's and my dad's. Are you at school? Who is gladly said group Gdansk Dwell Williams? What are you doing?
Have you any idea what any of this means, Louise?
I have no idea what they're on about.
Who is gladly said group Gdansk Dwell Williams?
Well, who is gladly said group Gdansk Dwell Williams? Face my furry.
Text me now or face my furry.
What's cracking?
What's cracking?
And then Sam got bored after that, right?
He did, yeah. Then he stopped texting after that, I think he'd had enough.
He was furious.
I'd be furious if she started using cap lock. Louise, thank you very much for being nosy and snooping in on your son's text conversation.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Maybe keep us up to date if there's any more.
Yeah.
I will do, definitely.
Are you sure you don't know who gladly said group Gdansk Gwell Williams is?
I'll ask him.
All right, just let me know. Love you, bye. That was this week's Friday Extra podcast. I hope you enjoyed our vintage bits from 2012.
BBC Sounds.
Hey, listen to this. Yeah, I don't know what that is. Because in the 24th century, we don't have animals. Birds, insects, or trees. So, if all of this stuff has gone, tell me, what on earth did you do?
Forest 404, a brand new drama podcast starring Pearl Mackie. Listen to Forest 404 first on the BBC Sounds app.